With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Good enough. English teams make a decent start to the Champions League group stage, and we're here to tell you about it. It's Thursday, the 22nd of October. You're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'll tell you what, guys, I've actually sat in the not saying things first chair for Ramble On the other day, and it's bloody lovely.
Stressful? Oh,
no, right, don't you think it's just so much? I can see why you just want to go rogue the whole time, Petey.
What?
Because it's just a lot. It's just a
smash
life
up the plans
of joy.
For the show, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, oh,
well,
I'm
there's
off
no
the
money. The problem is, there's no money to be made as a sidekick. I tried going down that route. Lauren O'Vern, Alex Zane, Paul Tonkinson, all of these people I was the sidekick for.
Doesn't Bez have a mansion in Old Lier?
He was in the Happy Mondays,
though,
wasn't he?
Baldrick. He's everyone's favourite.
Oh, yeah, so but he was the front.
Time Team now.
Yeah, he was the front man for Time Team, though.
Yeah.
So he graduated from being a
sidekick. That was the Foo Fighters to the original Blackadder.
Exactly.
Ah, that's where I'm making the mistake there.
Mm.
Rowan Atkinson's Dave Grohl.
Yes.
There's a crossover.
Well, I'm sure he'll be delighted to hear you say that. Who is Pep Guardiola in the Pep Guardiola, Sergio Conceição kind of duff up? Is that
duff
that's
up.
Not the right word, is it?
Well, look,
that means something else entirely.
I'm going to be out here saying that Sergio Conceição is the Kurt Cobain in this relationship.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Live fast, die young.
Well, I just think in terms of his leadership, really. I mean, people think Guardiola is a strong guy on the touchline. You meet a match when you come up with Sergio Conceição.
Mm.
I think I did enjoy his little chat afterwards, where he said, what did he say? He said, I'll have to ask Guardiola for some lessons on brainwashing the officials. I mean, that is a good line, isn't it?
Wowzers.
It's strong, certainly.
Well, clearly, anyway, he brainwashed the officials into that 3-1 win against Porto.
Much as I enjoy Conceição on the touchline, we're not going to be seeing much more of it in this season's Champions League, are we?
He's got Eric Trump's hair, I think. Have a look at this. It's just
goodness me. That's not something you necessarily want to be associated with.
That's what Guardiola should have said.
Yeah.
You know,
you've got Eric Trump's hair.
Put
dickhead.
Him in a better position. Yeah.
You should send him your best lines, Pete.
Yeah. See what I should feed him, yeah.
Well, see what he makes of them.
He's a database manager, so he's a database manager, not a database manager. I'd like to confirm that he is not a Microsoft Access or SQL table. I'd like to make that very clear. Yeah, he does dress like one.
I would love it if more head coaches were like little Microsoft paperclips.
Yes. It seems you are trying to change to a 4-3-3 in the second half. Against Porto.
You might want to look over your shoulder where you keep getting rinsed by the right winger.
I think there's legs on that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Legs on a paperclip.
No,
I don't want to think about
that. They didn't have any legs on a paperclip.
No.
No, no. It was
his dysfunction.
The whole face was his... It was just a face, wasn't it?
It was iconography at best, wasn't it?
Because you could easily make a paperclip into a full person, could you? But they didn't.
He should have bent. You know, he did bend himself out to make an image of a piece of paper or a printer, didn't he? Remember?
Oh yeah,
he's quite versatile on that.
Although the eyes on the paperclip look a little bit like the eyes that you put on the picture of Kate on the WhatsApp group when West Ham are making a comeback at Spurs.
Yeah, I'm glad we all enjoyed that. Yes, so. This was a decent game, wasn't it? I thought Porto defended pretty well for the first quite a while, 60 minutes. I was going to, early doors on my notes, I said, let's wax lyrical about Porto's defence, shall we? But I guess we can't do that given the outcome of the game.
You say that. I mean,
switched it up, didn't he?
I thought they were better in the second half, Manchester City, after being taken by surprise, which has happened to them a few times in the group stages of the Champions League, hasn't it? In those early home games, you think of them getting rolled by Lyon the season before last, for example.
Champions League semi-finalist Lyon.
Yeah, that's right. To give them their full name. Thank you very much.
Andy Brassel's Lyon.
I don't think that is their full name. But I thought City were lucky in a sense that they got that penalty so soon after the opener. Mm. And that was actually the source of a lot of Conceição's rage because, of course, it shouldn't have got that far. There was the big stud print from Gundogan I don't really understand how you can wind it back, look at that through VAR,
and think, oh, that's fine.
And then go on and give the penalty. So obviously he was quite enraged about that. But considering they got undone by that and the free kick by Gundogan, which they weren't that happy about either.
As in that it was given or that it was
That
scored?
It was given.
Yeah.
That it was given.
Because it was scored pretty much like centrally into the net, wasn't it? But of course the goalkeeper was onside.
It was one of the... It was a bit of shades of Ronald Koeman in Rotterdam, wasn't it? Mm. You're going to the goalkeeper, over there! And he put it exactly there, didn't he, Gundogan? But I think if you look at from Porto's perspective... They've gone there. They're a team slightly in transition. Obviously, way less money than Manchester City in the first place. Well less established in European football terms. Mm. They've got six Champions League debutants on the night. I think you're walking away from that thinking that's not that bad.
No,
we can still win the group. Obviously, some people would look at that and say maybe that's one of the weaknesses of the Champions League. There's a bit of a difference between the haves and the have-nots. I mean, I think this group is particularly polarising for that. And
should we do a breakaway league, yeah? For the Champions League,
You have blown my mind, Pete.
Oops. Sorry.
Call me JP Morgan. I was saying it yesterday.
We already do, mate. Seems like that.
But it's difficult for Manchester City because they did play well for that second half, as you said. But what can they actually prove in this group stage? Mm. Until they get to... It's a bit like Paris Saint-Germain. Until you get to the quarterfinals or, fingers crossed for them, the semi-finals of the Champions League, you can't actually prove anything, can you?
Well, I guess they can prove that they got their head screwed back on the correct way after... I mean, the defending... Like, lovely goal to open with, the Luis Diaz goal. But the defending was crap. Joao Cancelo just sort of stood off him and looked a bit embarrassed when he went past.
Yeah, it wasn't It wasn't great, was it?
Misplaced a pass, obviously, for Uribe. It was an interesting little situation.
Yeah.
Are we still calling him Robert Dias?
Yes, I forgot about Robert Dias.
Is that the thing?
I forgot about that.
I mean, it'll aid his adaptation to the Premier League, I think, if we anglicise him. You know when like Marco Aurelio went to Turkey and they rechristened him Mehmet Aurelio?
Oh, nice.
Colin Kazim Richards was Kazim over there as well.
I just love how versatile these names are.
And Joey Barton was Joey Barton. Joey Barton.
Exactly. I don't know what Stephen Claren was. The gaffer.
So that's, I think, what you learn if you're Pep Guardiola. That you can,
and you've got much better subs than everyone else as well.
And you've got much better subs than everyone else. That's what I was going to say as well. Because, of course, the third goal was combination of Phil Foden and Ferran Torres, who came on together in the 68th minute and then produced, well, the finish was amazing, but the move itself was brilliant, 5 minutes later. So that was lovely.
Pep changed it. Again, they weren't on top for a very, very long time, and Pep changed it up and won them the match, I would say. A very tactical performance, I would say, in the end.
Mm. I really like the Porto goalkeeper as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a big thing, if you think about it, to come across and replace Iker Casillas, which is what he had to do, really. So he made a huge contribution in them winning the league last season. And considering it's his first stint in European football at fairly sort of, I don't know if you can say advanced age. He's not a child, is what I'm saying.
Not a child. Most footballers aren't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't put children in the goal. Apart from Ilan Meslier.
Maybe two in a big long goalkeeper's kit. That might work.
Oh, yes. What? Like in the Muppets movie where they go and visit Miss Piggy and they're all in a suit standing on each other's heads.
Are they rats? What are they? What are the creatures? Oh, just all the different
all the different Muppets, because Muppets are not 6 foot tall.
No,
I mean, that would be,
if you know one thing about Muppets,
absolutely effing terrifying.
A goalkeeping Muppet. A goalkeeping full 6 foot two Gonzo in net. Lovely.
They've got one at Stamford Bridge. I feel like I cut you off. Marchesan, he's great.
Yeah. He is. He's very good.
And what's Pepe's issue?
I think
it's dysfunction.
Normally, you look at Pepe and you think, "Oh, this is good old Pepe, isn't it?" But I think what's particularly eating at him at the moment is the fact that he's basically holding the Porto defence together. So it's like when he's in the middle of a good defence, as he was last season, it's like, yeah, I can be the responsible one. That's fine. Uh-huh. But now it's, you're the responsible one. Uh-uh. He's like, oh no! I better do something nuts.
I don't want to be responsible.
But yeah, he has been holding it together the last couple of games, because the guy who came in to replace Alex Telles, who of course is a huge loss for them and had a really good first game for Manchester United in Paris, I thought. Zaidu, who's come in for him, he made his debut at the weekend, he played his first game replacing Alex Telles at the weekend, I should say. And he had a nightmare. He was lucky not to get sent off. So I think there is a sense of overcompensation in what Pepe's doing at the moment. Do you remember like when Mourinho played him as a defensive midfielder for Real Madrid? And all of a sudden, he didn't know where he was. He was an attack dog with a blindfold on. And you got, well, exactly the results that you would expect, really.
Sort of random attacks?
Yeah.
Or not, I guess, if you're an attack dog with a blindfold on, you could miss.
Mm. I don't know. I mean, it depends on what they've been trained to attack, I guess.
Yeah, I guess if it's on scent, it might not matter.
Yeah, men with bits of carpet around their arm, fine. Horsemen, less good.
Yeah, it's difficult to say. And Aguero, of course, scored the penalty in the middle of all of this. That's his 40th goal. He looks like I don't know how much golf you guys watch, but he's a sort of Bryson DeChambeau of football, I feel like. He looked sort of tonked.
You may as well be talking French.
He looked tonked. Basically, Bryson DeChambeau is this golfer who went away, was injured for a bit, not injured, but during the lockdown, and came back like 3 stone bigger.
Cool.
I'm not saying Aguero is 3 stone bigger, but he definitely looks as though he's been doing his shoulders. Mm.
The Leon Goretzka workout program.
Maybe.
Yeah. I love the way that you've made a reference, by the way, that we don't get. It's tremendous.
Yes! Well, then golf is not exactly...
Craig Mason has completed the football ramble.
But yeah, he does, doesn't he? He looks bit.
Well, because the only time you see Aguero when he's injured is when he's doing his little Twitch streams, ringing up Leo Messi, and Leo Messi just really doesn't want to get involved. Why are you waking me up? It's really late here. So he's clearly been down them gyms, or yeah, down his own gym. You got a multi-gym.
Yeah, it's probably more like that, isn't it? I imagine. Or perhaps he's just, I don't know, sorting through his memorabilia.
Yes, probably picking up his replica awards and medals. He probably had a bit of a tidy up with all his medals he's got.
It's probably something very, very boring and domestic. Mm. I've got kitchen bin arriving today, by the way, and I'm bloody excited about it.
Oh, I bought two recently, and they're both electronics, so when you put your hand over them, they go...
Oh, shit, now I feel like I've...
Can you get a bin symphony?
Yes, like Hungry Hungry Hippos. It's like, it was winning the Hungry Hungry Hippos game. I can't remember now.
Someone yesterday.
Yeah, someone yesterday, yeah. It was a Manchester United player.
Axel Tuanzebe.
Yes, well
it
done.
It was him, yes.
Wait, hang on, I don't get the link.
I'm just saying that the bins kind of go up and down like two hungry, hungry hippos.
Oh, right.
As I feed them my filth.
Now I'm concerned that I've chosen the wrong bloody bin. That's a nightmare. Mine doesn't do anything electronic.
Foot pedal? Not even a foot pedal.
I don't know.
Get out.
I don't know if it's got a foot pedal. What have it's got is it's like a recycling drawer that you pull out underneath.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So nice. I thought that was quite cool.
That is quite cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into the like domestic way of things.
What, having a bin?
What's that?
Breaking the mold.
It's been a bin bag on the floor, guys.
I just live in a skip.
Normally, I just throw it out the window.
Yes.
Me and Oscar the Grouch. I just, walk over my own.
It's like Aguero when he's on one of his Twitch streams, isn't it? Yeah. Just like throwing a burger wrapper, empty Coke can out the window.
Mountain Joe. 8 hours.
How dare you? I would never litter. I keep it all in my little skanky flat. Mm. All right then. So the other English team, because you're going to talk about all of the other joys and thrills and spills, aren't you, Andy Brassel, on the continent later today?
That's the plan.
The thrills and the spills with Dotnan Adebayo and Nicky Bandini today,
correct,
I think. And are you the sort of the linchpin of that, would you say?
I'm the Pepe, yes.
The moral core. Oh. Not the moral core.
Let's say the moral core.
let's get into Amsterdam, which was, by the way, pissing it down. Ajax 0, Liverpool 1, the final score there. Sign of things to come with Fabinho at centre-back, we think. Fabinho, as I saw that the BBC Football Daily podcast called him.
Oh, wow. Did they? Mm. Clever.
Yeah. Capitalised Fab, if that wasn't clear from my...
Right.
That surely goes against every BBC style guide going. Outrageous.
I think they're just trying
getting
to
spice more tabloid by the minute. Outrageous.
Oh no, in.
But what a salve to Liverpool's wounds, defensive wounds that was, that performance. Clearing off the line. A salve. Kiss to the middle.
Yeah, Nicolas Tagliafico's sort of, I feel sorry for him. It's as big an own goal as you can get, but we can make praise for Sadio Mane and
We can make praise for Sadio Mane's shot that was going nowhere near the goal until Tagliafico tripped over it. You know what? Like, I've a lot of time for both Ajax and Liverpool, and I love watching them both. However, the last thing I want to see on the opening week of the Champions League is a goal that you would see in your five-a-side.
Oh, yeah.
And a goal that if one of your mates cuffed it into the back of his own net,
you'd be embarrassed.
You would
give him stick.
Rip the piss.
What were you feeling? What feelings about Martial's goal? Martial's own goal.
The look of disgust on his face, like
that makes it
was the level, leveler.
Yeah, that makes it better.
And any goal's a good one for him at the moment. Let's be fair.
Yeah, I like the fact that Sadio Mane, according to his manager, has had a dead leg for some days, like several days. It's like, that's a coma. That's a leg coma. Like what's happening? Resurrect that man's leg. He's got to have it iced all the time, apparently. So
oh my God, what? He can't feel it?
I don't know.
Is this some sort of hilarious prank? Is this Mo Salah going a bit rogue with his,
maybe,
with his Twitch activity?
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, you would have said it was Craig Bellamy in a golf club, wouldn't you?
Yes, exactly.
I'm scared of Craig Bellamy, so let's not talk about things like that.
You're scared of Craig Bellamy?
He's scary.
He's quite scary and unpredictable. I'd say he's scary. Yeah.
He's scary for John Carver.
Yes.
And he's parked in his parking space.
James Milner called this one an old-fashioned English game post-match. I mean, it was raining and the pitch was quite
wet,
cloggy
and lacking in quality.
And there wasn't a lot of quality.
Prejudiced, isn't it?
Yeah, Milner. Stick to your fake Twitter account. What are you on about?
Exactly.
I think that. Also, we should celebrate Adrian's clean sheet.
Yes, but they're not going to hang the clean sheet too high, said Klopp, because there were some opportunities for the other side to get back into the game. And it's like, hang the clean sheet. Do you actually have a sheet, Klopp? I want to know if he's actually got a sheet.
That's actually quite a lovely image.
What? Klopp
raising the
keeper. Raising...
Although that might be confused for a sort of flag of surrender, mightn't it?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, it's not what you want to see from your manager, I suppose. Yeah.
So you just hang it out the window rather than put it on a flagpole?
Yeah.
Just to eliminate all doubt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
There was a guy when I was at university. This is a horrible story. I shouldn't tell this.
Okay, cool.
Don't.
Cool.
Oh, no. What happens now? All right. someone I was at university with, he lost his virginity in second year, which is, you know,
right, okay.
That's nice, isn't it?
And depends on how good he was.
I have no idea. But two of the guys celebrated this by hoisting a flag. A sheet with the, not, that sounds gross, but with the congratulations, Ben, whatever his name was.
Congratulations, you've just had the worst sex of your life.
It's good to start at some point, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure it'll be exactly the same as that. Anyway.
Jürgen Klopp has probably had sex before.
Jürgen Klopp, yes. Have you seen him on Spit the Image, by the way?
No, I haven't actually.
I've seen a few little clips.
Are you a BritBox subscriber?
No, but there is a little like clip of it on YouTube. Okay, that's how I saw it. He gets a brick thrown at him, and he's like, "Oh, this is such a nice gift from the Everton fans." It's exactly as you would imagine you would be.
Spitting Image has been away for so long. It's kind of catching up, isn't it? Because they've had a similar thing in France for. Years and years now, called Le Guignol. And what they do is they have a news program, like four nights a week, a 20-minute spoof news program, which is done by the puppets.
Right.
So you've had Sarkozy. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is one of the most memorable puppets on that.
He's absolutely fantastic. Does he have one of his little kind of like pencil moustache?
Oh, yeah, it's proper Ming the Merciless business.
Wasn't there a... Oh, I want to say ESPN or maybe Satanta had a Jose Mourinho one.
Yes, they did. They did.
They had a special
One TV.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I don't know about this.
Oh, it's fun.
How has this passed me by?
They managed to find the one man who couldn't do a Jose Mourinho impression. Hello, I am Jose Mourinho.
Oh, bless him. So it's where do we find this? Is this a YouTube?
It was a while ago now.
A while ago now, yeah.
All right, I feel like this is something I would want to dig into. So we didn't think, it sounds from the summary I'm getting here, we didn't think it was that much of an exciting game. But it's a big, in a sense, it's a big win for Liverpool because it's so kind of crummy and held together.
I think the focus being on Fabinho is obviously that they have defensive issues. They do have injuries mounting up, as do Manchester City, as do a lot of Premier League teams at the moment.
And if they don't, they've lost people to COVID, haven't they?
So you're in a situation where that's going to be that's going to draw headlines, isn't it? Because his contribution to the back line of Liverpool was so important, and it's come at such a good time for Klopp. So, yeah, long may that continue.
I mean, isn't it kind of symbolic a bit with Van Dijk? Because everyone feels that Van Dijk's signing was Liverpool's turning point. Exactly.
And Alisson, I guess, and so they're without both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think with Van Dijk, I mean, obviously it's a blow to them, but I do feel that the panic about it is far more outside the club than it is inside the club. I do feel that, you know, if you look at the way the game went at Everton, for example, all we've really talked about in relation to the Everton-Liverpool game at the weekend was the challenge by Pickford and the loss of Van Dijk. Mm. And that's all we've talked about. If you take the game in its entirety, take the decisions out of it, Liverpool were really good and they deserve to win against a team who had 100% record in the Premier League and had their tails up and wanted to have a go at their local rivals. So I think if you're dispassionate, which is very, very difficult to be, A, after what's happened, and B, in a derby situation anyway, if you're dispassionate about that, you just look at that and you think, it's actually a good performance to get over what happened at Villa. And as you say, to grind one out in the Champions League after this against a team who I would expect Liverpool and Atalanta to finish top two in that group. But, you know, Ajax can be dangerous. There's no doubt about it. So to get that game in Amsterdam out of the way, not concede, job's good.
Yeah.
I think there is no real reason to panic for Liverpool.
Yeah. And Klopp afterwards, he was obviously, he would... You could. It seemed from his post-match as though he would have preferred a better performance. I mean, who wouldn't? But yeah, he has something to be pleased with. And in terms of the social media thing, I know it's an obvious point, but like many of the people, almost all, I would wager, of the people responding to that, to the Pickford thing and the Virgil van Dijk injury and the collective of two on social media have not actually watched the fucking game. And they may have watched, you know, some highlights that would only ever take in the incidents, but I'd be very...
Yeah.
So this is the big thing about football really, isn't it? And where it goes from here is the fact that most people getting involved with talking about football and creating
these
situations.
And VAR's an unpopular subject as well.
But the point is, Pete, you can just like chomp in with whatever your bullshit take is. You don't actually have to have seen what's going on.
All right,
you just
someone's been listening to me on the ramble.
But you know what I'm talking about. You know, people just want to say explosive things and get likes and they don't necessarily know what happened in the game and they don't need to.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
True.
That is true.
But we care. That's why we're bringing you such rigorous analysis of such things. Oh, I tell you what, one last thing as well. Wasn't it sweet seeing Reece Williams come on at 92 minutes for his Champions League debut and then afterwards, so he's obviously only on for like 2 minutes. He gave Jürgen Klopp this like massive joyful hug. Like,
yay.
Look what I've done.
Well, you might as well lean into it because if you think you're in a hug situation with Jürgen Klopp... Like, what are you going to do? You're not going to get out of it, are you?
He was loving it. I would say he was playing he was on loan playing at Kidderminster. This time last year.
Lucky him. As we've discussed before, Kidderminster's matchday food, top of the line.
Top notch.
Maybe that's something that you're not enjoying as a player, perhaps.
Yeah, don't know
should be eating any of that.
Yeah. I don't think you get to do corporates before you go out and play.
Well, do you remember that time Eden Hazard was playing for Belgium against Turkey? He was quite young at the time. I think he was 18, 19.
Okay.
And he got subbed after about 65 minutes. And he just went off, like got into his tracksuit. And his dad said... want to go outside, get a burger. And he got snapped outside by a Belgian tabloid, him and his dad at a burger van while the match was still going on. And obviously he was still in his kit.
That. I've got a lot of time for that.
It was the cause of some polemic at the time.
Yeah. Oh, bless him. I really, really like that though. That's lovely.
Let the big booty daddy have his burger.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
The big booty daddy.
Mm.
That's what he's not called, is he, Pete?
No, only by me.
Okay, that's fine. Talking of subs as well, managed to get the front three off with plenty of time remaining. So I guess resting them before Sheffield United, although it would have been pretty awkward if Ajax had come back and, you know, 1-3-1 or whatever. So what that means is, I know, and also I'm Group D... Talking about tables is obviously absurd after one game, but never mind.
But you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, here you go. I shall tell you. Second from top, that means Liverpool are after Atalanta beat Midtjylland 4-0. Them, said Gary Lineker, and didn't pronounce their name at all in the BT.
Did he not?
Well, he did. He sort of came back to it.
Matthew Benham's not going to be happy with that,
which I thought was a little bit, I'm not into that. But anyway, he did pronounce them later. And we've obviously had a lot of contributions telling us how to pronounce Midtjylland. So, Midtjylland. Oh, my God.
Not that many contributions.
Now I'm second guessing myself. That's a worry. And as mentioned, you can hear all about all of the other exciting games in the Champions League from last night on the Continent later this afternoon.
Spoiler, Real Madrid didn't win.
What?
Listen to find out more.
But I understand Bayern Munich did. So, you know, at least some things are well with the world.
At least hold some of it back.
It went a lot more convincingly than anyone else this round, I think.
Yes, all right. Sorry. Spoiler alert, OTC fans. Right, we're back after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Frank LeBeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble.
The beef.
I love it.
Lovely.
These are great, Pete. Thank you for contributing.
That was my all of my impressions. I was trying to get a job on Spitting Image.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are any of these the actual footballers? They're all Pete.
That's actually quite a good angle. I can see you pulling that off.
Yeah. Hi, Reed Man. I'm Joe Ellington. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
That's how Sorensen talks. Have you had Newcastle player Sorensen? I think he's gone on loan to a Swiss side, I think. But I think he's only been in Newcastle for about like 4 years. 5 years maybe, and he, Elias Sorensen, has this beautiful Geordie teenager accent. It's well worth a listen.
Is it proper Baker Grove?
It's a proper, like, and he's also got the hair of like a young like working class kid. He's got a proper flat kind of greasy fringe. Oh, I love it.
That's amazing.
He's been transformed.
You have to love the Scandinavian ability to absorb accents.
It's incredible,
don't you?
Yeah. Incredible. Wonderful.
We call it the last Sivertsen.
Is that connected to the fact that there's so many of them so good at languages generally? Maybe it's just the ear that they have for picking up.
You see, the thing is, I think going back to what you were saying about Joey Barton earlier, Joey Barton and Steve McLaren, all they've done, they're talked about as if they're simpletons. They've actually exposed themselves as nice blokes.
Yes,
because they're just
the best. Yeah,
exactly. They're just trying to show empathy. Mm. With their captors.
And also... captors.
Is that Stockholm Syndrome we're describing?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're describing.
Oh, maybe that's why it's called that. That's not why it's called that. That is not why it's called that. Yes, you are listening to the Football Ramble and you've been emailing us. So let's hear what you've had to say.
Just email show.
Actually been in the studio with you since that jingle has been released, Pete.
It was a very loose performance from me. I'd like to apologise to everyone.
Meant to apologise to you because I did tiny bit slag off the performance in earlier.
You know the problem with it is at the end, and I love it. I love it.
Mm. Oh, you're such a little brownie.
But the critics, the problem, Spin magazine.
The problem at the end is the first couple of times I hear, you know, everyone's got their favourite misheard lyrics. Mm. At the end of it, where you say Marcus, it sounds like my kids.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. And really? Also, some people have mentioned that I don't mention your name. And I clearly do.
Yeah,
I had to go back and listen to it. Because if anyone's going to mess up admin, it's going to be me.
That's all. So all the American listeners of Football Ramble have been writing in to say this.
Right. Okay.
That they think it says my kids. Mm. I can't. I don't know.
I can't mark it as my child. My child.
Yeah. So I don't know about all that. But anyway, well, you know, it's good to put yourself out there.
It is.
Is it?
Musically. Hoist the flag. I've done another hit.
Yeah, we're proud of you. Okay.
Dubstep remix next time.
Yeah. All right. Email show at footballramble.com or tweet at footballramble to get in touch. Aaron has done just that. Hey, folks, he says, I think these billionaires are going about it all wrong with regards to the European Premier League or Super League, I imagine it would be called, wouldn't it? If I had that kind of money, I'd be buying a smaller European nation's entire league. Being from Ireland, I'd pick the Irish League. Others may pick a nice hot country like Greece, for example. You could invest in new grounds, upgrading training facilities, investing in grassroots, then hoover the youth up from around the world, give them all a stupid budget every year to bring in overpriced wandering semi-stars and the odd superstar to start with. It may take a decade to catch up, but people would start watching when Neymar is running out for Shamrock Rovers on a sunny afternoon in Dublin. Key for me for this new league would be giving the Women's League equal airtime and funding. Oh, man. Man after my own heart. It's a massive market waiting to explode with few teams or leagues standing out. That would be a great addition. Whatever happens, this decade is going to have some of the best football we've ever seen and we'll hate everything about it by 2030. Cheers. Thanks for emailing in, Aaron. I mean, bits of this seem very logical to me. It also kind of reminds me a tiny bit of what they're trying to do in the Qatar Stars League. So,
right.
I
guess you could argue this already does happen to a certain extent, couldn't you? If you look at clubs in, like, you know, Norway or Greece, where they win the league again and again and again and just trouser loads of Champions League money and then become absolutely impossible to knock off the top of the domestic league. Both of them have changed from that in the last couple of years because they find it quite hard to get to the Champions League with the way the qualifiers are redone. But Aaron's a man after my own heart. I have tended to think in the past, if I had money to buy a football club, well, A, I wouldn't buy a football club. But if I did, I would buy the artist formerly known as Steaua Bucharest, or FCSB as they are now. And then, with a little bit of money, you get to get them to win the league every year. You get to get them in the Champions League every year. Also, I get to boot out dreadful homophobe Gigi Becali.
Right.
And make them the world's premier anti-racist, LGBTQ-friendly football club, which would absolutely
mug him off.
Yes.
But the problem with Bacali is he'd always come back. There's something about that man's staying power that upsets me. He'd be waiting for you to, you know, drop the ball on a transfer or something and the crowds to turn on you and the anti-Brassel out brigade will be out in force with their bed sheets and he'll be straight back in. I think he'd just be back. He'll be back.
I'm disappointed by your lack of faith, Pete.
I like how you've turned a lovely thing of wanting to counteract homophobia, for example, into a slightly vindictive thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quality. The other thing, I mean, in terms of like City, they have their football foundation and they have franchise teams all around the world. So I guess that's that on a smaller scale, isn't
it? I guess can you buy the whole, as long as you buy the whole league, but you can't buy two or three clubs in the same league. As long as you buy the whole league, you're fine.
Yeah.
Is that fair? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's a big question, isn't it, Pete?
Mm.
Is it fair?
Is it fair?
Is anything fair?
Do we think it's fair?
No. Should we go to the next email?
Yeah.
Theo Reyna says, Dear Ramblers, long-time listener, first-time sender of an email. I feel this idea is worthy of such a reputable and dignified forum. I thank you for your time in advance. Very polite, Theo. Thank you. On the discussion of punny name combinations, it reminds me of a joke going around the Northeast playgrounds in the early 2000s. Perhaps Pete might be familiar with it, but why he was in the vicinity of playgrounds is a thread I dare not pull on. I mean, I would have been over 18 at that point, so I wouldn't have been near any playgrounds. However, the joke went as follows. Did you hear the news? Six Newcastle players are to appear in court this weekend on drugs charges. Shearer caught Dyer giving Bellamy speed. It's lovely. Very, very creative from the Northeast school children. Very, very lovely stuff. No disrespect for Peter. You are a welcome, honest and disgruntled Geordie of Vox Populi.
Aww. I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Is that something you'd come across?
No, I hadn't come across that particular schoolyard chant.
I don't know if you'd be, I can't work out how old you'd be. That's probably
18. I'd be 18.
So you would have been telling the jokes. You'd have been making the jokes up yourself.
I would, at university, with my bed sheet.
All right.
I'm opting out of all sexual congress, thank you. That's what I've written on my flag. Not my decision.
I love the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, my promise ring.
What else have you opted out of? Send us an email and tell us. Show at footballramble.com.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Another lovely rendition of that. Thanks, Pete. Pete was actually doing it live in the studio just now, which is lovely to have. It's almost as good as, it's good having the real thing alongside you.
You know what? I never used to work on Top of the Pops where they'd have the backing track and live vocals.
Yeah.
It's never going to work, is
much
it?
As much as you're trying to create a side business in sorting out Pete PAs all over the place, like, I can see you doing that in a series of provincial nightclubs.
I might do a Kurt Cobain version on Top of the Pop.
Oh, it's beautiful. Live fast, die young. That's Donaldson. Someone else who's looks as though he's sort of dying on his feet out there. It's Mesut Ozil, friends. Wow. Well, that's the segue. Yeah. I'm sticking with it. He has been left out of Arsenal's 25-man Premier League squad. So you have to basically submit your 25 people that you're going to feature in the season. It can change in the January transfer window, but not until then. So all the Premier League clubs have done that. Mesut Ozil doesn't feature in Arsenal's one. Mikel Arteta said, it's a quote unquote footballing reasons. He feels bad that he hasn't been able to make Ozil play as he can. Ozil, for his part, came out pretty much straight away. I was on shift at Sky Sports News and I've read this Instagram statement about 200 times. So here it is again. Loyalty is hard to come by nowadays. I'm really deeply disappointed by the fact that I've not been registered for the Premier League season for the time being. And he went on to say he's going to stay and fight for his place, which is basically what he's been saying this entire time.
It's a really sad situation, I think. Yeah. And to see a player of this much talent just doing nothing. It's something that Jonathan New wrote about in The Guardian, wasn't it? And clearly this is something that people find really difficult to have reasoned debate about, because Ozil is someone who projects and has always projected a certain image as a footballer. And obviously Arsenal fans, I think you could say like 90% of them, their bottom line is, this guy's taken a load of money off us. I don't really care about the details, which is the problem really, isn't it?
I think Jim is really kind of forthright on, I think it's a disgrace that he should move on. He should, Arsenal of the wage bill that he's obviously contributing to in a fairly hefty way. But I you give a guy a contract. If you're not willing to play him, he'd be more than willing to take that money.
It's not like he's a consultant who they've agreed to pay like £2,000 a game and has then sent them a bill for like 700 times the price.
And I'm sure a lot of the a fair whack of his actual income comes from appearances and form based or certainly results based match situation. So he presumably will be missing out a certain percentage of his income, surely.
The thing is, because he played all the games for Arteta up until the hiatus, it's really hard to believe that there's nothing else there. Well, I mean, obviously the club and sources around the club have briefed, well, he felt he wasn't quite on it when he'd come back, he'd just become a father. Well, you think that'd be more of a reason maybe to give him a pass. And he just didn't feel he was into it. So he hasn't had him anywhere near the team since.
Well,
I don't know. It doesn't seem that clear to me.
Well, Pete, not Pete, that's me. Hello, from Sahej. I think he might be in India. He says, "Do you guys reckon that if Özil didn't publicly condemn China's treatment of the Uyghur Muslims, he would still be in Arsenal's Premier League squad?" I would say it's a contributing factor, not for the club not playing him, but I would sort of argue it's probably given Özil a bit of pause for thought to see, you know, what club he's playing, what kind of club he's playing for, yeah. And how, you know, I think I said that at the time when he was roundly just kind of like left hung out to dry by his club, by washing their hands of that situation and going, "Hey, nothing to do with us." That is a political stance, however you look at it.
Yeah.
You think if Özil, as a World Cup winner, doesn't have a brand that he needs to protect in China, he's on a lot of money. The only one of the few places he'll get that money is in Turkey or in China. So he's mugging off. He won't play in China. He won't make that level of money again. So you can criticise Özil's relationship with despots, you know, obviously Erdogan in Turkey. He didn't speak up about the Kurds, for example, Özil in particular.
He was his best man, I just read.
Yeah, he was, yeah. And you know, they've got the world record for imprisoned journalists. It's not a great kind of, it's a very deeply uncomfortable and unhelpful in this situation relationship. But I can applaud him sticking his neck out on that matter, in that Arsenal have a history of having a lot of Muslim players in their side, from Anelka backwards to, you know, probably, I think they've got two or three currently playing now. I don't remember Arsenal coming out and disassociating themselves from Hector Bellerin when he said the fuck Boris hashtag. There's no comment there. It just seems to me that was a business decision made quickly and stupidly, in my opinion. And Özil, it's given pause for Özil to sort of think, "I don't want to be at this club. I don't want to play football." And he's had his trouble at international level as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm German when I win, and I'm immigrant when I'm.
Yeah,
when
he's been really lose. He's been really mistreated, and I think what must have particularly hurt him is the fact that a lot of big German players who he'd shared some huge moments with, including the World Cup, didn't stand up for him.
Yeah,
you know, the likes of Thomas Müller and Manuel Neuer didn't stand up for him. Jerome Boateng and a couple of others did, but I can't imagine how hurtful that is, actually. Mm. But when it comes back to the Arsenal situation, yeah, I'm sure the Uyghur Muslims thing must have been a contributory factor, but I think surely the major one has to be the fact that he wouldn't take the wage cut. That to me, and that it was leaked that he was the one who didn't take the wage cut, when he's not the only one who didn't take the wage cut.
And also, I was
just going to say, Kate, as well, you know, people have said, well, you know, it's different because Arteta's just concerned with the team, so it must be on a playing level. I don't buy that because, of course, the fact that Özil doesn't go directly affects his transfer window. If Özil goes, they've got Usam Aouar now, or very possibly at least,
which would be great for them.
And also, you've got to bear in mind the fact that, you know, Arteta's level of responsibility has been increased. So having like set the ground for moving away from Wenger for quite a long time, to move away from this, you know, Uber manager who covers everything model, they've now kind of scaled back post Gazidis and done a complete trim down, which obviously was part of the redundancies that they made post-pandemic. And now Arteta is the manager. He's not just the head coach. So there's a lot more responsibility and there's a lot more like big picture thinking from his perspective, you would think.
Mm. Yeah, well, the only thing I was going to add was just that this point about not taking the wage cut from Özil's perspective, and it happened at a lot of clubs, not just at Arsenal, is that it suggests a lack of trust in that direction as well, as in from Özil to the club, because this idea of like, okay, you cut my wages, but what is the money then being used for? And can we have a say in this? That was the whole conversation at the time.
And that has been footballers post-pandemic, and they're quite right to ask that. They're quite right to ask that, I think.
It's kind of, I think that you look at how politically active NFL players are, for example, compared to, and why we found players, like, I think that the email actually brings in Rashford, how refreshing it is, how footballs can be affect positive change and stuff. But like, he's refreshing because there are very few actually important figures in football. And Özil, again, It's that fucking relationship with the Turkish Premier. But you just sort of think, all right, he's a footballer who's sticking his neck on the line there, and he's speaking out, not even against the club, not even against football, against Arab nations, Muslim nations that have stayed quiet because they're in the pockets of Chinese businesses. It's a lot of football fans in particular, when people like Marcus Rashford stuck their head neck on the line and sort of said, look, let's do stuff for school meals and stuff. Richard Jones from the NFL called it like a plantation mentality. Just shut up and play your game and we'll deal with the politics. And in the NFL, that is basically just republicanism. That's what that stands for. So I can understand why Ozil feels isolated and alone and not really fucking feeling the Arsenal way right now. And that's only going to affect performances, surely.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting what you say, actually, Pete, because English football and English footballers and English-based footballers, I suppose, have traditionally like steered away not just from politics but anything that could be loosely construed as a political stance.
Well, exactly.
There's this idea about being a team player and just, you know, let your football do the talking. And that is kind of bullshit. It always has been, but it particularly is now.
Exactly, Kate. And that can't endure simply because there's such cross-pollination now. The Premier League is so international. You can't shield yourself from that. Forever. And, you know, maybe that's part of the reason. And I think social media is part of the reason. I think Raheem Sterling being such a positive leader is part of the reason that now you have footballers, and obviously Ozil's not part of this, but footballers under 25, like, actually, I'm going to speak up for what I say is right. I think as well, part of that is the fact that, as you say, Pete, I think American sport is part of that. I think they look at NBA players who are very socially active, and particularly in the last couple of years, even more so.
And look at Megan Rapinoe taking the knee in the women's game, and
exactly,
we're not going to the fucking White House. I'm not saying that was her political stance. You know, like, here I am with my political stance, which is what she is like. But it was, you know, it's just a
the same
off
people
the cup.
Got I've got upset with everyone's cup of tea, drinking celebration. Yeah. The same people get upset about that are the same people who get in Rashford's replies. Go just concentrate on the football, mate.
Yeah, it's just so the I've same got a few spare hours. Actually, I mean, you know, even when you were at school, you were given a few spare hours for community action. Maybe that's where he's putting them in. Yeah, and I guess on a very basic level. You know, people who followed Ozil and enjoyed the kind of magic that he can bring to a game in that playmaker role will miss the fact that he's not going to be playing football for the next few months, at least. We're going to finish with, well, I mean, it's a sad situation for Valencia fans, I would say. You know, they back in August, they held a vigil for the fall of their Spanish giant club. You know, many of their great players were sold. We've seen one of them performing pretty brilliantly last night, actually, Ferran Torres, of course, against Porto. But off they go for comparatively little money, they think. And Peter Lim, who bought the club, he's gone through 7 managers since 2015. But of course, there's no fans in the ground. So how are you to protest against the running of your club when it's really sticking in your craw, Andy Brassel? How are you to do it?
Say bioterrorism.
Alternatively,
like Gandhi.
Alternatively, you could hire a mariachi band to follow the directors of your club around town.
Excruciating.
And embarrass
fantastic.
Them. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, with Valencia, there's kind of a big musical tradition anyway. You've got the guy, Manolo El Bombo, who bangs his drum for Spain at various World Cups as well, who owns a bar, or at least has owned a bar, directly opposite the Mestalla, where it's this sort of community hub. So I think there's some musical element to the protest. Does make a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, I suppose, like, if you're one of those directors, and they have all been, of course you have Kim, the daughter of Peter Lim, who came out on Instagram a couple of months ago and said, look, why don't fans just understand it's our club and we can do what we want with it? Which,
put that in your pipe and smoke
it. Did she mean to say that out loud? I don't know.
One of the videos you must have seen is of her and Joey Lim sitting outside a cafe and this mariachi band's just playing away to them and they try and leave and no.
But because they're relatively shameless in that sense, I wonder if you lean into it. Like, say, I'll tell you what.
I'll bring me maracas.
Every time I tell a joke, could you do a boom? That would really give weight to my business dealings.
Yeah. I mean, presumably you could outbid the people who've spent this money on the mariachi. This could be the best. This could be a bidding war for a mariachi band. I'm going to give you this amount of money. Then they're like, oh, I'm going to give you that amount of money. Are they going to honour the original contract?
Oh, what? Say, if you stop playing, you can have this amount of money?
Yeah.
Or if you only play lovely, supportive messages, noises when I tell hilarious jokes.
Yeah, they're very keen on that sort of projection. Yeah.
Any mariachi bands out there who want to follow around the Football Ramble and, you know, celebrate our jokes?
Yeah.
Email in, show@footballramble.com.
Or simply go at the same time to drown out Pete saying bioterrorism.
That would be a nice kind of like muting of the my mic. Pete said something unacceptable. He's talking about airborne spores again.
Oh. All right, I've got a number for them already. I think let's go and get on that, shall we? Europa League tonight, Spurs against LASK, Arsenal versus Rapid Vienna. On tomorrow's show, it's me. Oh, yeah. Jim and Luke. Ooh, Luke's game. Exciting. Have you had fun today, guys?
A lot of fun.
Always.
Lovely stuff. Bye, everybody. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.